Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello there, everyone, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm the tech editor here at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as always, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hey there.
Very subdued. Yeah. It's a cloudy day outside where we are at the moment that we're recording this, and I think we're both sort of mellow today.
Yeah.
We'll have to step it up.
Also, blood loss has affected me somewhat. Oh, yes. So,
the shaving incident.
Yes, we won't go into detail. We'll just, the incident is good enough.
The surgeons hope to reattach his scalp. Anyway.
Yeah, I took just a little off the top.
Nice. Okay, so I actually am feeling a little charged up about our podcast this afternoon.
I found it shocking.
Okay. You know, we're going to do that all podcasts that people are going to write in and complain about our overpunning. So.
As well they should.
Yeah. Really? Frankly, yes.
Yes, frankly. Ha ha! So, that's a pun that no one's going to get yet. So we are tackling electronics and basic electronics, but in order to talk about electronics, you can't really just leap into it because it really makes absolutely no sense unless you have, and here's another pun, a grounding in electrical theory.
Yes.
I didn't even mean to do that. And as I was saying it, I just,
That's okay. So do you want to start small?
Yeah, let's start small. Yeah, where electricity all has to do with the movements of a particular subatomic particle.
That would be the electron.
Right. You see a pattern here with electricity, electronics, electrons?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Not to be negative or anything.
Oh, stop.
All right, so...
Because the nucleus of an atom is made up of protons and neutrons, and, you know, revolving around that are the electrons in those outer shells.
Although revolving is probably not terribly accurate. Zipping around.
Zipping. Okay, we'll go with that. Zipping around because they're not necessarily in a circular path.
Right. They're actually pretty erratic and funky. The more we know about the more we know about atomic behavior, the more bizarre it appears to me. It seems like as we gain more information, it becomes harder and harder for me to get a grip on it. But in general, yes, the electrons are the negatively charged particles that orbit around the nucleus of an atom. And it all depends on what kind of a material you're talking about. I mean, different mm-hmm. materials have different number of electrons orbiting them. Some of them have what we often call free electrons, and some do not.
You could tell the ones that do because they have a sign outside that says "free electrons"
right.
to a good home.
There's a big arrow, and the guy's like twirling it every now and then, throwing it up in the air. And
yeah,
no, that's not what that means. but materials that have free electrons tend to be able to pass them along pretty easily, mm-hmm. and so those are what we call conductors. They are able to conduct the flow of electrons, and then you have other elements that are not that you know, they pretty much have their electrons locked up.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any free electrons in their electron shell. Those are not good conductors.
No, they're not.
So they're actually insulators where it resists the flow of electrons. So using these different materials, you can create a pathway for electrons to flow through. So that's the very basis of electronics. Let's talk a little bit about some of the terms you're going to run into whenever you chat about electronics.
Okay.
Let's talk about current. And let's also talk about one of the great thinkers in American history who influenced tons and tons of different ideas and political movements, and just inventions in general.
Yep.
I'm, of course, talking about Samuel Adams, the beer maker. No, I'm sorry, Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin. I was just thinking of the inventor who was most important to me.
I'm just waiting for the listener mail to come in on that one.
Yeah. Hey, I bet our listeners appreciate Samuel Adams like I do. Actually, they probably appreciate him more. But the so Benji, as I like to call him, or Frankie Baby sometimes, depending on, you know, how often we've been over to Sam Adams.
Did I end up on Stuff You Should Know?
So, hey, Chuck. Get a load of this guy.
Yeah.
No, so Benjamin Franklin, he observed this this phenomenon, and he came up with the concept of current. Now, when Franklin was thinking about this phenomenon, he came to the conclusion that current was a flow of positive particles moving across a pathway, across a charge differential, really.
Okay.
So he thought of current as the flow of positive to negative. Now we know that current is caused by the flow of electrons, which are negatively charged particles. So even though current goes positive to negative, the electron flow is actually negative to positive.
Right.
So in other words, when you talk about current, it's the opposite direction of electron flow, which is incredibly confusing for people who happen to be English majors.
That would be us.
Yeah. So first of all, get that. Let that sink in. Current is essentially that you're talking about electron flow, but it's moving in the opposite direction of electron flow because Benjamin Franklin was a doofus about this.
Well, you know, he was what you might call a pioneer in this field.
I'd call him the Tiger Woods of his day.
Would you really?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go any further with that.
That's okay. Wow. We are.
Oh, no. No, we're still
okay.
Current.
We are current. And actually, for current to flow, as you mentioned earlier, you need a pathway.
Right.
Generally, you're going to need it to be a complete pathway.
Yes.
Also known as a circuit.
Yes.
If there's a break in that circuit, then the electrons are not going to flow.
Correct.
Which is important.
Yeah.
Not only because it's important to know to prevent electrocuting yourself, it's also important to know if you're actually going to make something that involves the flow of electricity.
Yeah, and it also tells you another very basic thing that we'll get into later on,
mm-hmm.
Probably not in this podcast, but maybe in a subsequent one.
Okay.
switches, which are essentially manufactured breaks in a circuit.
Yes.
You can create a break in a circuit so that you control whether or not electrons are flowing through that particular circuit at any given time. When the switch is, you know, closed, mm-hmm. the electrons can flow through, and when it's open, then they can't.
You know, that part of electricity is actually pretty simple.
Yeah. Yeah. It's when you start getting into some of the other concepts that it starts getting complicated. First of all, when we're talking about current, we measure that in amperes, also known as amps. Mm-hmm. Although, because 1 ampere is actually pretty darn big, we usually talk about milliamps.
Yeah. There are a lot of different terms that are used to measure electricity in different capacities.
Yeah.
Sorry. And they're named for a number of different people. Amperes are one. Watts are another, of course.
What?
Electricity is, you know, measured in watts overall. Stop it.
Yes, we'll do.
But current is measured in amperes.
Right. And then, so you'll hear other terms as well. So, you know, current. What about voltage? What is voltage? Voltage is a little confusing for someone who isn't terribly familiar with electrical fields and the like. Voltage is an electrical force that exists between two charged distributions, mm-hmm. and we measure it in volts. That's surprising, right? So what are we talking about when we say an electrical force that exists between two charged distributions? What does that actually mean? Okay, mm-hmm. so think of electrical charges the same in the same general sense as we talk about magnets, because as it turns out, electricity and magnetism have a really strong relationship with one another.
Yes.
One can induce the other, in fact.
That's true. And as a matter of fact, that's very important to the production of electricity.
Yes.
But we'll get into that in a bit.
So if you're familiar with magnets, you know that the two of the same kind of poles, like North Pole to North Pole, repel one another.
Right.
But opposite poles attract. So a North mm-hmm. Pole, South Pole will attract one another. So if you put the North Pole of one magnet near the South Pole of another magnet, and they're close enough, they will pull one another close together. Mm-hmm. The same sort of thing can be said about charge. A positive charge is attracted to a negative charge, vice versa. Whereas mm-hmm. similar charges repel one another. So if you have a positive charge on one side and a negative charge on the other side, the force between the two, that's the voltage. And you can think of it as if you have a positively charged particle, mm-hmm. that's going to move away from the positively charged field. Okay. So mm-hmm. let's say you've got the positive field on your right and the negative field on the left. Okay.
Okay. I got it.
Now you've got a positive particle that you are inserting between the two.
Right.
All right. The positive field on the right is going to push that particle because mm-hmm. it's the same charge, positive to positive.
Right.
The negative field on the left is going to pull that particle because it's opposite charge, right?
Right.
So the force that it takes to move that, that's what you're talking about with the whole voltage. That's the whole concept there. Mm-hmm. And that depends on multiple factors. But the other way that you can think of voltage, this is the way that we actually describe it in our article on how electricity works, which is extremely helpful, by the way.
Yes.
I do recommend reading it. Is if you think of current as electron flow, you can think of voltage as the pressure behind the current. So the greater the voltage, the harder it is pushing those electrons.
All right.
All right?
Yeah, I got it.
We've got another concept that we have to tackle, though.
Okay.
Because Lord knows electronics aren't hard enough. Really, Benjamin? Really? Do you see what you started here? I mean, yes, granted, without this kind of knowledge, I wouldn't have a job. But seriously, this made my head hurt.
Yes.
More than it already was due to the incident.
But his, his work, you know, his experiments held the key to all of this knowledge.
Ha-ha. Go fly a kite. So the other thing we have to think about is resistance.
So you want to talk about ohms then?
Yes, on the range. So a range of ohms? No, I'm sorry. I'm being silly. So resistance is another term that you're going to encounter whenever you're looking into electronics. Resistance refers to the reduction in current flow. Now, all materials have some sort of electrical resistance.
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. So you can think of materials with high resistance don't allow electrons to flow through very freely. With low resistance, electrons can flow very quickly. And it depends on two different elements, not just
elements.
Two different factors. It's so hard to talk about this without confusing things. Two different factors. One is the kind of material you're talking about. So like things like copper. Copper is good.
It's a very, very good conductor.
Right. But also the diameter of the pathway.
Right.
So in other words, a wire that is thick has a lower resistance than a thin wire.
Mm-hmm.
And this is important because if you think of, again, we're talking about the analogy of if volt is the pressure behind the current,
mm-hmm.
resistance kind of talks about how big are the pipes that allow the current to go through. So if the pipes are very large, then the current flows pretty easily. There's not a lot of pressure there. If the pipes are very narrow, there's much more pressure. And in the case of electronics, pressure pretty much comes around to as a heat.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that you have a very, very thin wire and you're trying to push a high voltage current through. It's going to heat up really mm-hmm. quickly. In fact, if your voltage is too high, and the current is, I mean, if it's just too much for that wire to handle, it'll melt.
Mm-hmm.
So, you need to have a heavier gauge wire in that case. Or actually a lower gauge wire, because that's the other thing that's confusing with electronics. Things that you think, okay, more means that it's going to be bigger. Not always. As your gauge gets larger in a wire, the diameter actually gets smaller.
Okay.
So like a 12 gauge wire is actually smaller than a 10 gauge wire.
Okay. I actually didn't know that part.
You didn't know that part?
No, yeah. That part I didn't get. So
that'll bite you if you try and build a circuit and you're like, 10 gauge, 12 gauge, what's the difference?
I generally pay other people to do it for me.
Yeah, I do too.
And put it in a nice plastic box so that I can do stuff with it.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I pay quite a bit of money in order for my circuits to be built within whatever device I already want.
But I have to say it's kind of nice to refresh this because this is the kind of thing that you learn in junior high or middle school shop class.
And then immediately forget it. Yeah. Actually, it was physics class for me, I think, where we had to build basic circuits. So you mentioned ohm. Resistance is measured in ohms.
Yes.
Ohm came up with this crazy law, which we call Ohm's law, which is that voltage equals current times resistance. And, of course, you can move that around, just basic algebra. So current would equal voltage divided by resistance, that kind of thing. And that's just one of those basic laws that a lot of electronics, if you're going to be really schooled in it, you have to know Ohm's law.
Well, this is
and obey it.
Yes. Obey the law. This is the kind of thing that, it's kind of dry in some ways because it's very, technical. But the thing is, the combination of all the things that we have already talked about on this podcast is the basis around what we do with our electronics.
Yeah.
We know the kinds of materials that conduct electricity, the kind of materials that prohibit the flow of electricity, and the kinds of materials that slow it down.
Right.
And using those things, you can choose the materials to build your electronics out of, and you can get a grip on the flow of electricity and monitor it. So it's, manipulative, you can mess with it.
There you go. So that raises a good point though. I mean, we're talking about, here we are talking about current voltage and resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how does that matter to electronics? Well, what matters is that why would you build these paths for electrons in the first place? It's because, the electron flow can actually produce work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the case of analog electronics, we're talking about it generating power for things like an electric motor or possibly powering a light bulb by sending electrons through the filament.
Sure.
But In which case you give off photons. See, now it's getting really complicated. Pretty soon we're going to go into quantum mechanics.
Changing into light energy.
Yeah. So that's with analog electronics, but you also have the digital electronics. Now, digital electronics is a little bit different. What you're doing is instead of producing work in the traditional sense, you are doing things like creating devices that can count, that can execute certain commands, perform calculations based upon the electron flow that goes through them. Mm-hmm. And that's a little more difficult to wrap your head around than the very basic analog electronics. But that's why you would want to build a circuit in the first place, is because you can, you know, by harnessing electrons, you can do work.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty incredible stuff, really, when you think about it. I mean, electrons are subatomic particles. They're so tiny that, you know, you can't see them with even the most powerful light microscope. So,
yet at the same time, they're powering our cities,
yeah,
and our transportation and our computers. And
tough little buggers, aren't they?
Yeah,
it's amazing. There are a couple of other concepts I think we should probably touch on briefly before we call it a wrap on just the theory part of electronics.
Sure.
One is induction, which we referenced earlier.
Yes. You are now fully admitted into the Society of Electrons.
Yes.
That's not that kind of induction.
No, no. There's no tattooing or branding
There's hazing.
Like that. There's, yeah, all the neutrons, they are the biggest bullies, let me tell you. You'd think that they wouldn't be, what with being neutral and all.
I was going to say, they've always seemed rather impartial to me.
Yeah, that kind of, you would think they'd be boring, but no, those guys turn on you in a heartbeat. So, induction. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Induction is going back to what I was talking about with the whole relationship between electricity and magnetism. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about electromagnets before, actually in several podcasts.
That's true.
But the flow of electrons can induce a magnetic field. Now, normally the way you would do this is you would coil a wire, an electron pathway, essentially.
Sure.
And as electrons flow through the wire, the coil of the wire, you create a magnetic field that moves in the opposite direction of the current, which, if you remember, is in the same direction as the electron flow.
Right.
Opposite direction of the current, same direction as electron flow. Because Franklin thought that there were positive particles moving around, and he also wore bifocals. So I'm just going to drop Franklin.
He was so certain he was positive.
Yes. He wasn't just sure. He was positive. Oh, man.
Anyway.
So anyway, the magnetic field moves in the opposite direction of the current. And so that's why if you wrap a copper wire around an iron nail, mm-hmm, and you attach the ends of the copper wire to a battery, you can create an electromagnet and pick up other little
filings,
or paperclip, or you know, whatever.
Depends on how. Yeah, that's the thing. Is it sort of depends on how strong the battery you were using. If you used a bigger battery.
Also depends on the gauge of the wire and how many coils you wrap around the, you know, how long the wire is.
But more electrons.
Yeah.
Bigger electromagnetic field.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So there are electromagnets that are very underpowered, really, you would say, like the little thing that you made with your battery. And then there are massive electromagnets that can do things like lift an entire car.
I knew you were going to say that because those are the ones that I always think of as being the, you know, seriously powerful electromagnets.
The ones that
they use in a junkyard lift cars.
So, here's the other thing is that a magnetic field can also induce an electric current.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have that same kind of a coil of wire and you pass a magnetic field so that it comes into contact with the wire, that can actually create a flow of electrons within that wire, even if you didn't have it connected to any sort of power source.
Mm-hmm.
Which we talked about a bit with the electric guitar, as I recall.
Yes.
Because, you know, as you strum a string on electric guitar, the pickups, actually use an electromagnetic principle. The magnetic, the strumming of the strings creates, the magnetic field, which in turn creates the electric electricity that goes to the amp. Mm-hmm. So pretty cool stuff. Now, the last thing I think we should probably talk about is capacitance.
Okay.
Do you have the capacity to talk about that, or shall I?
Well,
I have a feeling I'm going to. All right, I'll talk about it. So capacitance is when you have two plates separated by either space or some sort of insulating material.
Uh-huh.
And they have opposite charges.
Right.
So you've got one plate that's got a positive charge, one plate that's got a negative charge. And capacitance is the basis of one of the elements we'll talk about in our next electronics podcast, which is, of course, the capacitor.
Mm-hmm.
And just so you know, I mean, we'll probably repeat this again. We'll repeat this for the first time in our next podcast. But the capacitors are both very useful in electronics, and those are the things that can kill you, and particularly in large devices like television sets.
Well, they're used to store electricity.
Yeah,
and release it upon demand.
Right.
So,
but they store,
you know, they can actually have quite a bit of juice in them.
Yeah. And they can release it very, very quickly. It's not like a battery. It's
we're just sort of on. It's like all or nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kinda. You know,
well, it can be. I mean,
that's one of the possibilities. Yes. So if you were to touch the lead of a capacitor, while it was fully charged, you could discharge it directly into you. And with certain devices like televisions,
yeah,
that means that it could kill you. And the TV does not need to be plugged in or turned on or anything for that to happen. If the capacitor is holding a charge, it will hold that charge. And if you touch it and discharge it, ouch. Or possibly, possibly fare thee well.
Yeah. Beyond ouch.
All right. So anyway, we have pretty much covered the basics of electronic theory.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to need to go and get something to drink, like something from Sam Adams, possibly.
Well, did you want to talk about the different kinds of current?
Oh, alternating versus direct?
Yes.
Do you want to chat about that for a little bit? I mean, we can talk about Edison versus Tesla.
Well,
which that would be softballing it.
Well, one of the things that I wasn't certain if this fell into this one or the
think we can talk about it here.
Because there are essentially two different types of current.
Yes.
You know, the very first one, the most simple, is the direct current, which, you know, basically goes around and around and around in the same direction and doesn't stop.
Right.
Alternating current, on the other hand, goes, you know, switches direction at regular intervals.
Right. So the current will go from one direction and then it'll go to the other, which of course means that the electron flow is doing the same thing, just in the opposite direction.
Right. And that's one of the funky things about electricity. You know, you're going, okay, wait a minute, how is it switching direction? But it actually helps move it from one place to another. I mean, that's one of the things that helps us, send electricity over long distances.
Yeah. As it turns out, alternating current is very, very useful if you want to do something like generate power at a power plant and then distribute it across a wide power grid. Without alternating current, you couldn't rely on things like transformers. Which, again, we'll probably get into. I don't even know that we'll necessarily get into that in the next podcast. That might be for a third one, because we're going to go, I think, into the basic circuitry for the next one.
Well, transformers, in essence, transformers change low voltage electricity into high voltage electricity.
Because, or vice versa.
Oh, and vice versa. Yeah. That's the thing, is that high voltage electricity travels better. And that's one of those things that gives you the opportunity to send it longer distances.
Yeah, but also it turns out that it will totally kill you if you come into contact with it. So clearly you need to have some way to transfer that high voltage into low voltage,
right,
so that you can use it without frying yourself.
So essentially you need one at both ends.
Yeah.
You need to change it to high voltage, send it along the power line, then change it back into low voltage so that you can use it in your house.
Right. And we'll get into
that's
that.
That's just the basics.
Yeah, I think we can get into that important. in a future podcast. Mm-hmm. So our next electronics podcast, just to give you guys a little preview, will be about the basic elements that you find in circuits and what they do and how they relate to these concepts that we've laid out in this particular episode. So look forward to that. Chris and I will look forward to recording it in approximately 2 minutes, because through the magic of podcasts, you guys get a break and we don't. No, this is really interesting stuff. I mean, granted, I will admit I had to do a lot of reading to get back up to speed on this, because it's been pretty much since high school since I've actually really looked at electronics from a mechanical physics sort of perspective, as opposed to just, hey, that's awesome, I want three of those.
Right.
So good times. All right. And I don't have any listener mail today. It's just because, again, I was researching this so hard that I totally forgot to pull up listener mail. Not that I have any shortage of it. You guys keep on writing. They are pouring in, and I appreciate them. And we have been adding topics to our list quite a bit recently.
That's true. And if you'd like to write us and send us a note with your thoughts, please do so at techstuff@howstuffworks.com.
And remember, we do have articles on these concepts. In fact, our article on how electricity works is written by Marshall Brain and our buddy Robert Lamb.
Hey.
They worked on this. Marshall wrote an article many years ago, and Robert has been updating it. And it's very, very helpful. It's got some good illustrations, more analogies, fewer puns.
Yeah.
So for those of you who find our puns painful, I recommend the article. That's at howstuffworks.com. And Chris and I will talk to you again, probably about electronics, really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the new TechStuff blog, now on the HowStuffWorks homepage. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.